Paul Horning has joined us on Sports Byline. Again, the name of his book is called Golden Boy, Girls, Games, and Gambling at Green Bay and Notre Dame, too. As I indicated, 1956, you're the number one pick in the NFL draft, and you say the first 2 years Green Bay lost miserably. I hated Green Bay back then. When I got there, Green Bay was the Siberia of sports.
It sure was, and like you understand, it's a little bit different. Nothing is relative. Everybody says everything's relative. Well, you consider I was the number one pick of the draft. I got 15,000, 17,500, and 19,500 on a three-year contract, and I got $3,500 signing bonus. Today, last year's number one pick got $68 million. So everything isn't relative when you really look at it. But what the heavens, I had a great time. That was a considerable amount of money back, you know, in the middle 50s. If you were making $15,000 or $20,000, you were considered very lucky.
In 1959, everything changed, of course, when Vince Lombardi became the head coach. And you say, again, what Lombardi changed the most in Green Bay was the atmosphere. Tell me about the very first time you met the man.
Well, the first 2 years, like you said, Ron, we were losing. We won 10-1 and 3-9 in a 12-game season. And I was ready to come back and get started in my real estate career here in Louisville, Kentucky, and on a full-time basis. But he changed all that. Immediately when you talked to him, you knew it was going to be different. He put a fire underneath all of us immediately. He said he wasn't going to accept losing, and we knew right away that a change was in the winds. You know, he was one of the greatest men I've ever met in my life. I don't think I would have even to this day if he were here. There's nothing important decision I would ever make without getting his advice. I cherished the time that we spent together. Of course, when we look back on it, you know, it's a very short period of time.
What were some of the things that he did, Paul, to change the attitude? Because I always hear coaches, when they take over a losing situation, say, we've got to change the attitude. And what you said is Lombardi changed the attitude the most, and you said he would not tolerate laziness or carelessness. Can you give me an example of something he did immediately that changed the attitude of Green Bay?
Well, you see, he knew who to push. He grabbed me once, and he took me aside, and he said, look, he said, you could be one of the leaders of this football team, and I think you, the guys look up to you. I'm going to be on your ass, he said, because you need it. You need to be pushed and shoved and coached. And he said, there are other players I can't coach like that. You know, I'm not going to coach Bart Starr like that. Bart would probably take heed to it a little bit. It might upset him, and I don't want to upset. And I said, well, you don't have to worry about Bart. He don't make any mistakes anyway. but he knew you have to coach different players in a different vein. Ron Kramer never had a coach raise his voice to him until he got to Green Bay. And then Lombardi was on his butt, too, because he had to push him. You know, Jerry Kramer, he pushed. You know, Fuzzy, he pushed the guards. He didn't say anything to Forrest Gregg. Forrest Gregg was kind of to himself, and then wouldn't have enjoyed playing for somebody who's really going to bitch at him. And so that's part of coaching. You got to understand, these coaches have to know who they have to push the button. And I think Coach Lombardi did a wonderful job of that.
Yeah, one of the great things about him is that he understood the individual personalities of each of those players and was able to push the right button at the right time. Let me go to 1961, because that was a very interesting year. You were a reservist, and you were ordered to report to active duty in the U.S. Army. Tell me about that season.
Well, I had been in the six-month program earlier on, and I finished my six-month program, and then we were in the reserves at the time, and then they had the Berlin crisis. It was called a Berlin crisis. I don't know if it really was or not, but anyway, they recalled thousands of people for the service, and of course, I was one of the reservists, so I had to go in. And actually, I was 4F. I had a nick on my X-rays that if it shows up, everybody, you know, even to this day, if you have something wrong with your vertebrae and it shows up on your X-ray, you're 4F. But But they were afraid that what would happen with the people if Paul Hornung were not in the service with the rest of them, because when you know, Mickey Mantle didn't go in the Korean situation, and they got, well, they got a lot of hell raised because here, you know, here's Mickey playing baseball and everybody else is fighting a war somewhere. You know, that doesn't go over with a lot of mothers. So they didn't want to have that that kind of a situation. So they told me after I had flunked a couple tests that it doesn't matter, you're going to go in, Hornung. So I said, okay, let's go. And I went into Fort Raleigh, Kansas. And that first year, there were, 67 of us in the National Football League back in the service because of the Berlin situation. And we played on the weekends. They gave us weekend passes. I did miss a couple of games. So now the championship game's coming up. And everybody in the service always understands A to H goes the first 2 weeks for Christmas vacation, I to Z the second. So here I was going to have to take my Christmas vacation in the first part, so I would have missed the championship game. And I asked my captain, the officer who handled our group, if I could switch. He said, no, you can't. So I called Coach, and I said, Coach, I'm not going to be able to make it for the championship game. I've got to take my vacation at a different time. So he said, well, I've got a phone number. Let me see what I can do. And the phone number he had was, of course, to the President of the United States, JFK. at some affair, he had given Coach Lombardi a number and said, if any time you ever need me, you call me. This is my private number. Well, he said, this is the time to do it. And he called President Kennedy, and he said, would he assist in a favor? Could you see if you could change Paul Hornung's Christmas vacation time? We'll make a long story short, he called Fort Raleigh, Kansas himself, and he got the captain on the phone, and he said, this is President Kennedy. And, of course, the captain said, yeah, and I'm, you know, and I'm Mickey Mouse, you know. So here, after a while, talking to President Kennedy, he understands, boy, he sounds like him. Maybe this is him. And sure enough, he finally understood that it was the President of the United States. And he had switched my Christmas vacation, and I got to play against the New York Giants at Lambeau Field for our game against the New York Giants, which was probably our best football game under Lombardi ever. It was 37-0, and we really could have won 70-0.
Yeah, did the Packers during that period of time just kind of become very machine-like? I mean, was everybody comfortable with the Lombardi system?
Oh, it was perfect. You know, I mean, we had a great system offensively with Jimmy Taylor running the ball 25, 30 times. I would run it 12 or 15 times, and Bart would throw 25 to 30 passes. And we led the league in offense for those years, those period of years. And we were an inefficient group. We had a very, very good defense. And, you know, some of the guys, we won 5 championships in 7 years. I think was acknowledged as one of the great teams of all time.
Yeah, we got about 45 seconds before we break here, but I want to ask you quickly. It's been said that teams take on the personality of the towns they play in. Indeed, was that the case with the Green Bay Packers?
It sure was. You know, they're very. It's a very unusual group. I was up there last week. Now, they have 102,000 in Green Bay, and there's 86,000 seats, and there's a 40,000 waiting list to buy season tickets. I mean, it is very unusual. It's the damnedest stadium that's ever been built. There's nothing like it, both in the college level and the pro level. You know, it's the stadium, they put $500 million in it and just tweaked it.
Hold on, Paul, just a second. Let me take a break here. Paul Hornung has joined us. The name of his book is called Golden Boy. And we'll take a break and come back on the other side as we continue with more of you and Sports Byline.